Last Sabbath, we had our monthly youth day, which was a beautiful thing. And I want to give thanks to one of the children because they were the inspiration for my message for today. Now, all the children last week did a wonderful, wonderful job, and I'm so proud of them and their parents who instruct them. Thank you for that. But our own little Samara gave a recital of the Ten Commandments, and there are times when I find myself having a difficult time trying to pick a subject in order to talk on. But when she recited those commandments, she planted a seed in my mind. And I thank her very much for that. So, my message for today is the first commandment. All right, obviously I can't cover all 10 because then it would turn into a sermon. But the first commandment, it packs a lot. And she recited that beautifully. And to me, this first commandment is most definitely the most important of the 10. Don't get me wrong, the other 9 also have great importance, but something about this first one stands out amongst the others. Now, there are 5 commandments that stand alone in the Bible. In other words, once God recited them, he went right into the next and into the next. But there are 5 that have a little something that he adds to after he recites the commandment. Now, the first commandment would fall under that first category I just mentioned, that there is nothing that he says after. But there's something about it that stands out from the other 4, and that is that the first commandment starts with an introduction and a reminder. You can't say that about the other 4. Commandments 6, 7, 8, and 9. You can't say that. They don't have nothing said before it, in relation to it, and nothing said after it. So, the first commandment, like I said, isn't like the other ones. But let us read that commandment together. Now, little Samara, when she recited it, she started from verse 3, where the commandment actually starts. But let us turn to Exodus chapter 20, and let us read verse 2 along with verse 3. And it states, I am the Lord thy God. That's the introduction. And here comes the reminder, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the introduction and the reminder of just who it is. God was reminding Israel of just who it was that took them out of that sinful land. You shall have no other gods before me is all about loyalty. Now, don't get me wrong. The same can be applied to the other 10, and most specifically, the following 3 after the first commandment, because those first 4 show us how to love the great eternal God. Loyalty to God. We know that through biblical history, Israel, the nation, failed in exercising that loyalty time and again. Yet God in his mercy always gave them chances. God had a commission for ancient Israel. They were to be the model nation in the then known world. And that they, Israel, was to teach all nations, or at least be an example to them, on how to live. And especially in knowing and obeying God. And teaching them, and maybe even teaching them about the true God. But brethren, I want you to humor me for a moment. Let me paint a what-if scenario, all right? A what-if scenario. Now, we know that Israel did not have the Holy Spirit. But imagine if they would have kept the letter of the law, at least. Imagine the difference that they would have made. Like I just said, Israel was to set an example. And when it came to the Ten Commandments and their obedience to it, had they obeyed, who knows what would have happened back then? Perhaps Israel would have grown to become the dominant power in the region. They would have been the nation all other nations would look up to. Israel's closest neighbors, the surrounding nations, would have been witness to the favor that Israel had in God's eyes. And more than likely, it would have confirmed a very important truth in their minds, the minds of every man, woman, and child in those surrounding nations. And you know what that important truth is? Would have been that the God of Israel is God indeed, the real deal, not the false gods that those surrounding nations worshipped and bowed down to. But alas, this is just a what-if story. None of that occurred because Israel was not loyal to God through and through. Now, as I said, all this could have happened if Israel had kept God as their king and obeyed his every word, including his commandments, especially that first commandment, that first one that came with that introduction and reminder. But let's ask the question, why did God feel the need for that introduction and reminder? When you read the account in the Bible, in Exodus, all those wonderful things, those great things, those wonders that God performed, why did the people at that moment, why did God feel the need to do that? Well, the law is found in Exodus 20. But the lead up to the giving of that law is in Exodus 19. All right? Exodus 19, let's turn there. We're going to read a couple of verses in Exodus 19, some that stand out, at least the two most important ones that stand out. Now, in the context of Exodus 19, we read that Israel, they had just arrived at Sinai. They arrived in the third month, according to Scripture, the third month after leaving Egypt, not the third month of the year, but after leaving Egypt. And of course, Moses has always been the mediator between the nation of Israel and God. He would be the one that could see God and then bring back God's words to the people. So this happened here in the early part of Exodus 19. But in verse 5, God gives a proposal to Moses, and he wants to give it to the people of Israel. And this is what he says. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. That's a beautiful statement, but there's one little word in there that is very key. And that's the little word if. It's very key. This was the covenant that God proposed to the people. And hold that word proposed in mind. God is looking for their submission to him, just like the way a wife submits to her husband. And what was their answer? What was their answer, brethren? Let us drop down three verses to verse 8. And this is an impressive thing here, what the people do. And it states here in Exodus 19, verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Beautiful thing. And of course they would say that, all right, because of all the things they witnessed, all right? With a resounding yes, Israel accepted God's proposal. I guess a proposal to marriage. We know that God calls himself a husband to Israel. We know this. They said yes, just like the way a woman says yes to a marriage proposal made to her by the man she loves and in return who loves her. But still, why did God feel the need for that introduction and reminder? Why? I mean, Exodus 19 packs a lot of information in the lead up to the giving of those beautiful of that beautiful law of God. As a matter of fact, we know from the wonders that he performed in Egypt, that would have been enough for the people. But no, God saw fit to add a little more to it. Now, like I said, the assembly stood at the foot of the mountain, and they witnessed the judgment of God over the people of Egypt. They saw that. They remember that. They saw the cloud by day as they moved through the wilderness. They saw the pillar of fire at night, both of which were provided by God. Because obviously, you know, you're walking through the wilderness and there's a cloud walking or flying before you, leading you. Clouds don't do that. They witnessed the path that God opened for them when he parted the Red Sea. Again, a marvelous wonder. They don't need that reminder. They saw this with their own eyes. They saw they heard the loudness of thunder at the mountain. They saw the ever-increasing lightning flashes over the mountain. They saw the mountain covered in deep smoke. They saw that fire coming down the side of the mountain, just about to give those commandments. And as that figure was coming down, that fiery figure was coming down the mountain, what was happening in the background? There was an ever-increasing, ear-popping blowing of trumpets. Almost like a king's court, when the king's loyal subjects are there in that court, and then the trumpets blow for the king to announce the king as he walks into the room. That's what this is picturing in my mind. Here you have the king of the universe coming before the assembly of Israel, and you have this blowing of trumpets. Marvelous. I mean, Exodus 19 is a reread, a reread, a reread, because it blows my mind every time I read this. But then there was the most important event that took place. And that was the great God himself reciting those Ten Commandments to the assembly of Israel with a thunderous voice. If that doesn't put the fear of God in you, I don't know what does. Brethren, that reminder was for all succeeding generations of Israelites throughout the centuries. And that includes you, the spiritual Israelites. We were not witness to those great events of Exodus 19, those great events that took place in the earlier chapters of the book of Exodus. We were not witness to that. But we have faith and we firmly believe in these things to be true. That these things happened. Israel did cross the Red Sea. Israel did cross the Sinai. Israel did go and possess the land flowing with milk and honey. All that happened because God willed it. Christ Jesus, who is the God of the Old Testament, the God who with thunderous voice recited those commandments, has made a proposal to you. I know you accept it because here you are. He's made a proposal to you. But you know, as we walk in this life, let us do like King David, who meditated on the law day and night. Not just the first, but all 10. But I'm sure he focused on the first very much so, because he saw the downside of breaking God's law. It cost him a son. But he also saw the upside of the keeping, the blessings that are bestowed upon people who keep the law, not just to the letter, but also, thankfully, in spirit. That little what-if scenario that I depicted just a few minutes ago is going to be your reality in the world tomorrow, where you shall be showing the world their folly, their error in worshiping false gods, and teach them the truth of Christ, starting with the first great commandment: thou shalt have no other gods before me. Happy Sabbath, brethren.